Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout out and thank you all to the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Ben's, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jenna the Filthy, MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Game, that's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look amazing. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends this holiday season. So again, head on over to Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. You can search up MTG in Quarantine. Every purchase supports the channel and is greatly appreciated. Well, it's that time of year again for MJ's look back on the year that was 2022. Obviously, I did one of these episodes last year for 2021, and honestly, a lot has changed in the last year here now, and I want to spend some time just talking about exactly what has happened in the last year of Magic. So, without further ado, I'd like to get started just with my thoughts on the new sets that came out this year. So, we have four standard legal sets this year. I know it seems like there were a million more. Obviously, we've had a lot of product overload this year. Nothing I can do about that, but I'm just going to quickly run down the four standard legal sets that came out this year. So I'm going to start off with Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to really play with any of these sets over the course of the year, so I'm just going to kind of give my high-level opinion on these. Kamigawa Neon Dynasty was definitely one of those sets I wish I'd been able to dive into more. Obviously, I went to the pre-release. I played some cards. I suck at pre-release, but, you know, what else is new? But really, I think what was interesting about Kamigawa Neon Dynasty was just the color gradation, the artwork, the flavor. Again, I'm echoing a lot of other content creators on this, but it was a really cool cyber set, you know, just a lot of really interesting futuristic type stuff. A lot of cool callbacks to old Kamigawa cards. And, you know, it's just a very interesting set with a lot of really cool cards that came out. I wish I had been able to play with more of them. There's definitely cards out there from that set that I have not heard of and really should check out at some point. But yeah, it feels like, honestly, years ago that set came out. And to be honest, the fact that it came out, what, January, February this year, really doesn't compute, honestly. I really... It's really just hard to believe that it's only been, what, 10, 11 months since it came out, but it feels like it's been 5 years, honestly. That's just how much product has come out. Then I'm going to jump over to Streets of New Capenna, which I really wasn't all that bullish on going into. Obviously, I did pretty poorly the pre-release. I think I actually did win a match, so I got a booster pack out of that one. But, yeah, the flavor, the feel didn't really work for me personally. I'm not really into the nostalgia, the noir type sets. So it didn't exactly speak to me. But again, there were definitely some interesting cards in there, some different interesting mechanics, a lot of treasure support. So yeah, when people are complaining a lot about treasures, I think Streets of New Capenna kind of takes the cake for that one. We're going to move on to Dominaria United, which, again, I didn't get a chance to play the pre-release on. There was definitely some interesting nostalgic pieces in there. Again, it's a set that I really haven't dug into too much, so I really can't talk about it all that much. Again, I missed the pre-release. I didn't really get a chance to play with the cards, and I just kind of looked at them piecemeal a little bit. I did do an episode on the Tumblr post with Katie Karlov on a few months back, talking about what cards we'd like to see in the set. Obviously, we were very, very wrong on pretty much everything. But, you know, again, that's just what's fun about those episodes. And then Brothers War, which I didn't, again, get to do a pre-release, but I did get to do a draft. It seemed like a very fun set to be able to draft. Maybe it's something that I'll be able to crack some packs a little bit later here. I don't know. We'll see. But it definitely seemed like a very interesting draft environment. Obviously, I got my face bashed in the one release event that I did do. But again, it just seemed like the kind of thing where I wish I could have played more drafts or, you know, just done a sealed pool on, if nothing else. Just because there was so much artifact goodness, and just the fact that those retro framed artifacts look so, so nice. I mean, it just even just the lesser artifacts, the quote unquote lesser artifacts, things like Ichor Wellspring, etc. I mean, they just still look so nice in that retro frame border. So it was a home run flavor wise for me. I'm still trying to pick through all the lore aspects because there was just so much to try to deal with, along with the things that's going on in my life. So I haven't really got a chance to dig into that as much as I've wanted to, but just the look of the sets. I remember mentioning back when I did my preview episode with one and only Levdev last year, talking about the sets for 2022, the Brothers War was the set that I was most excited about, and I still stand by that statement here at the end of 2022. That honestly, the Brothers War is such a critical part of Magic's history, and just the fact that they're able, that Wizards was able to pull it off and just make the set look so nice and have so many cool effects. I mean, bringing back Unearth for artifacts, that's cool. And the ability to be able to make cards prototypes where you can pay a reduced cost to get a reduced version of that creature. Again, the retroframe artifacts, one per pack, was really nice, so you always could find some cool stuff. There's just a lot of really cool. Just a lot of really cool stuff going on there. Some really nice commons and uncommons especially. So you don't need to be searching for the mythics. You don't have a very top-heavy set. I mean, okay, I take that back. There are a lot of really good cards in that set. But the depth in that set, honestly, I feel like was potentially the best out of any of the sets this year. There were just so many good cards at the uncommon and especially common rarity slots that it's really hard to argue against that just for me being the best set of the year. I mean, at least standard legal set of the year. Anyway, there were just so many other sets going on this year. I'm going to try to talk a little bit about them because, again, I didn't get a chance to play most of these. So, because like I said, it's been a very, very funky year. So, Battle for Baldur's Gate, really didn't get a chance to play this one. I missed the pre-release for various reasons. And again, it just seems like there's a lot of cool stuff going out in here. I did get opened a few packs. I did open an Ancient Silver Dragon, which I haven't had a chance to use yet, but seems like the kind of card where if you can make it work, it's really cool. All of the Ancient Dragons in that set were really interesting. And again, there's a reason why they're some of the most expensive cards in the set. And I keep hearing other creators mention how good some of the other cards were in this set. And I just kind of wish that I'd been able to play in the pre-release event at one point, because it did sound very interesting. So I wish I had gotten a chance to do that. I never got a chance to play Unfinity this year, so I really have nothing to say on that one. Jumpstart 2022 just came out, so I haven't had a chance to play that one yet. Again, there's just been so, so, so many sets coming out lately that it's been very hard to keep track of them all, but the one I really do want to talk about here is Double Masters 2022. I actually did get to play a couple events with this set, and let me just say that I loved this set. It was so fun to draft. It was so fun to just play a sealed event, and because not only did you get a chance to look at some really beautiful art on cards, but you also just had such amazing reprints. I mean, When the first card that I saw in my first draft of this event was a Damnation. I mean, that's a $20 to $25 card at the time, and something I never really thought I would want to spend the money to get, and then here it's right in my hand. And just I left that event actually winning a couple of rounds. I actually went 2-1 in my draft for Double Masters 2022, and I won some packs, pulled some really, really, really nice cards. I'm trying to remember exactly all that I pulled there, but I got an Aether Vial, again, that Damnation. Just cards that I didn't necessarily run in my draft deck. I think I only ran the Damnation as far as a rare in my draft deck. I was pretty much rare drafting because I'm just trying to get all the good cards that I wanted for other decks. And yeah, but again, it was very easy to build a nice aggressive deck. I ended up building Rakdos Aggro because I ended up having one copy of Lightning Bolt, two copies of Rift Bolt, a couple of Shadowborn Apostles, two Monastery Swift Spears, just a bunch of very small, very aggressive creatures in that deck and some removal. And I was actually able to run over a couple of my opponents fairly easily with those cards. So it not only was it my best outing ever at a limited event, but it was just fun seeing all the cool cards that were coming out of the packs. And again, there was definitely something cool about when I did do the four, maybe five packs sealed. The first rare that came out of that pack was an Ulamog, the Infinite Gyre, which, you know, again, if you know my logo, that's Ulamog. So it was pretty cool to be able to kind of get the namesake card in Double Masters 2022 sealed. And just the fact that also that set brought down prices on a lot of really, really nice cards. Like that copy of Ulamog I just mentioned is now $24 roughly. I suppose the market price of TCG player right now is about $30. But Monastery Mentor is $6. Damnation is $12-$13. There are just so many good cards in that set that used to be ridiculously expensive that I've never think about buying them, and getting them in a pack was really cool. Yeah, so Damnation is about $15, but still, the fact that I was able to get a couple of those between the two events was really awesome. And just, yeah, being able to get a lot of these really powerful cards that I never thought I'd get my hands on was really nice. So, yeah, Double Masters 2022, if you were able to play an event, it was hopefully amazing. I hope you pulled some really awesome cards. There's a lot of really cool stuff out there. So, yeah, I really think Double Masters 2022 was ultimately my favorite set of the year, just in general. Obviously more than Brothers War, because I actually really got to play Double Masters 2022 versus Brothers War. But again, just the fact you had this ridiculously good reprint set with all sorts of new art. I got a borderless lightning bolt, which looks amazing. Yeah, just can't really say enough about this set. So, yeah, lots of really cool stuff going on in the world of the cardboard. But now I really want to shift over to the year of the MTG and Quarantine podcast, because honestly, when I recorded my last episode for last year, which was the review of 2021, I got to talk about a lot of the cool things that I was doing at that point. I had started doing episodes with new people. I had started bringing guests on for the show. I had done a episode series, Control Room, with my good friend Ryan for a while, and, you know, really started to kind of get out there in the community. So 2021, things were really looking up. And honestly, 2022 blew everything from 2021 out of the water in so many ways. So, I mean, I started the year off talking with Jake from Command the Cause about playing Magic the Gathering to support causes and charities. It's a really good episode, and definitely something that I wish I could have gotten more into. Never got around to it, but I wish I did. And really, what ended up happening in 2022 was just so much more than I ever thought was possible going into the year. I mean, first and foremost, I really got serious into CEDH. I released my episodes, 5 Takeaways from My First Games of CEDH, in December of last year, and I just talked about some of the cool things I noticed about CEDH after playing my first games, right? And in 2022, I got much more serious about playing CEDH. So I proxied out some decks. I started playing on a regular basis. I learned that I really love playing Goto Band of Warlord. I mean, it's a very fun CEDH deck that I actually had some pretty good success in there. Notwithstanding the turn one win I got at Command Fest Bellevue over a good friend, Alan from Mental Misplay. So I'm not going to mention that one. So if you're out there listening, Alan, I'm sorry, but also not sorry about that particular outing with Godo. Anyway, again, 2022 was really the year where I took this podcast idea and it went into absolute overdrive. So again, I started to bring a lot of luminaries from the CEDH community onto the show to talk about various CEDH topics. So I had Adam from Casually Competitive coming on the 13th of January to talk about stacks and CEDH. Ultimately, that episode's actually ended up being maybe one of the top 5 episodes on my podcast all time, just because people really love CEDH content. And when I learned that people really love CEDH content and I was really getting more into it, I started to bring more people on. So I started to realize, hey, maybe if I do episodes on CEDH, maybe I can learn some cool things about these decks and strategies while you, as the listeners, are also able to listen and learn. So I started to bring on a lot of really cool people talking about their decks. really started with bringing Ken Bowman and Scoop Faze on to talk about Clark the Thumbless back in February. And really got a chance to break that down, really start understanding what exactly makes Clark so special as a CDH commander, especially. I had Ryan from Playing with Power on to talk about Godo, obviously. I just had so many people, so many different topics, too. I had Jim LePage of the Spike Feeders on to talk about the Major League Commander, personalization, CDH. I had Mr. Fitzy Fitz on to talk about powering up casual decks to CDH, because, again, that's a very, very common topic, and a lot of people really, really jived with that episode. I had Beyond the Machina on here to talk about Toxrol. I had Dan from Moderately Anonymous MTG talking about Kess, Dissonant Mage. I even had Topher from my local CDH scene talk about how to build and foster grassroots local scene. Because again, I was getting involved in my local CDH scene for a good long while there. And I was playing, I don't get a chance to play regularly anymore, but I used to be able to play CDH basically on a weekly basis. And I really enjoyed getting to jam games with people who really shared my passion for CDH while also just trying to learn new decks, new strategies, and really get involved in the community. That was really cool. Again, I had Cyrus of Mental Misplay on to talk about Blue Farm, so that's Tim Necrom. And that episode had just blown up in popularity. So again, if you're interested, if you're listening to this and you're interested in learning more about Blue Farm, definitely check that episode out, because it's definitely a very, very good one. I had a very interesting episode talking about Ad Nauseam, where I had Dan from Mon and On MTG, as well as Helenium from the Spellseekers on, just talking about the many ways you can use Ad Nauseam in CDH. It's not just a card. It's basically, it's an archetype. It's a strategy. It's also just a great way to be able to draw a bunch of cards. And just being able to talk about that was really cool. I had the Hermit Druid on talking about Timna Dargo, talking about a bunch of Dargo loops, which was very fun. Something that I never really got around to building, but definitely something that's been in the back of my mind for a long time. Had Faded MTG on to talk about his Rionya Fire Dancer. Sorry, their Rionya Fire Dancer deck. Excuse me. And I also got to talk about Connor CDH about Yasharn stacks, which is very fun as well. And just, I feel like I need to get back to doing these more. Unfortunately, I really haven't had a chance to play a lot of CDH lately for the last couple months, just some change in life and whatnot, but I would like to start getting back to doing that. I will be attending Silicon Dynasty in San Jose in January, so I will get a chance to hopefully meet some people face-to-face, maybe start getting back into CDH, as well as potentially start having more awesome luminaries from the community come on to the show to talk about their CDH decks. So I'm really excited about that. I hope that I'll be able to start really getting back in the CDH swing of things soon. But anyway, I kind of digress about that. So other things that have happened in 2022 were the conventions. I was very fortunate to be able to go to 3 conventions this past year, starting off with DreamHack Dallas in early June. I was invited to DreamHack, which is really cool, and it was the first chance that I actually got to be a cosplayer. And it was really awesome to be able to show off my Tireless Tracker costume that I've been working on for a while, be able to show that off, as well as to be able to start meeting people from the community. And honestly, I feel like the conventions were probably my favorite thing about 2022, was just the fact that I finally got to leverage all the work that I've done as a content creator into being able to make new friends and also meet the friends I've made online over the last couple of years. And to really be able to make those connections in person is definitely a lot different and a lot nicer than just being, you know, online. I mean, online is fine, but it's really cool to be able to, you know, put faces with names, whether that's username or whether that's someone's actual name. And it's just really cool and really awesome to be able to play with so many people I've come to know online over the last couple of years and just, you know, get pictures, interact, tell stories, laugh, you know, just existing. That's what the conventions are so fun for, is getting to play Magic, getting to talk about Magic, and just getting to feel like you're a part of the community. Because even when you go to your local game store, you don't necessarily feel plugged in, I suppose, unless you're playing with the same play group all the time. And the conventions are really nice because, yes, you do get to play with random people, with strangers, but you also get a chance to play with your friends. And I really got to enjoy that, especially Command Fest Bellevue. DreamHack was nice, but again, it wasn't necessarily a Magic the Gathering focused convention, so we were kind of a small subset of a larger convention. And what was great about Command Fest Bellevue was the fact that it was my first actual Magic convention in a long time. I mean, I did get a chance to go to a couple of Command Fests before COVID, so I really, that's really where I'd gotten into Magic the Gathering and into Commander especially. And so getting to go to Command Fest Bellevue was really awesome. I got a chance to, again, show off my cosplay. I got to play so many games, meet so many people. I mean, honestly, I was posting pictures for days on Twitter afterwards. There were just so many pictures, and I was just tagging people right and left. And I got to meet so many people, make many, many new friends, play a lot of really cool games. And it was just such an awesome experience, and I loved every moment of doing that. And man, it was a real hard time coming down from that the couple of days afterwards, because I just had so much fun. One of the best parts was getting a chance to have pictures with my fellow cosplayers. I mean, that was on the Saturday evening there. We had a cosplay meetup. I know I did mention this in my episode where I have with Giraffinat, so if you want to check that out, I highly recommend it. But anyway, for anyone who hasn't listened to that episode, we did do a cosplay meetup where all the cosplayers got together on the stage that they had at the event, and people could just come up and get a picture of all of us at the same time. It was really awesome. And then we did get a couple of just cosplay-only pictures out in the hallway afterward. And honestly, those moments really validated my work as a cosplayer. I mean, it's awesome being able to have people come up to you and say, hey, great costume. And I mean, it's definitely an ego booster, but again, it's that camaraderie and the shared love of the game that really excites me about cosplaying. So much so that I've actually started working on a second cosplay. I know I posted this on Twitter a little while ago, but if you didn't see it, I'm currently working on a Gerard Capuchin cosplay to be my second one. So again, if you're on Twitter, you've probably seen it, but if you're not, hopefully I'll be able to finish that up at some point for events in 2023. So I'll have a couple of costumes to take to events. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. It's looking pretty good thus far. Still need some tweaking, but you know, it's a work in progress cosplay, so I'm not too worried. And then, yeah, I had the opportunity to go to the MTG Summit brought to you by Kingdoms TV last month in Salt Lake City, Utah. And that was a really fun event. I was only able to be there for 2 days because of work, but again, it was really fun being able to cosplay one of the days, getting to meet a lot of people I've already come to know from various events, but also get to meet new friends in the process. I got the chance to, you know, play in a Brothers War event. I got a chance to just play a bunch of Commander. I didn't get a chance to play any of the pre-cons, which I'm kind of disappointed about, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. And, yeah, it was just really cool to be able to go to that convention because it was, those days are just so full of fun and just getting to play Magic and just getting to enjoy Magic. That's really where the magic is in Magic the Gathering, at least for me, is the gathering. I just enjoy talking to people, playing games, just, you know, getting to participate in these sorts of mega events where you get to be around a lot of other people who enjoy the game and you just get a chance to play. Because, you know, we're all busy with our lives and we don't necessarily always get the chance to play Magic. So it was nice to just be able to take a couple of days, take a weekend, be able to put on my cosplay again and just, you know, just play. You know, playing Magic is the best part of Magic for me, honestly. And just being a part of a large event was so cool. So yeah, and I did do a wrap-up episode on that one as well, so if you're interested in hearing more on my thoughts on that one, definitely check that out as the MTG Summit 2022 recap. Other things that I did during the year on the podcast was I just, you know, tried to bring on as many cool people as I could, talking about whatever really struck their fancy. So I had the amazing Joseph Johnson on to talk about his work with Tabletop Jocks, promoting diversity in gaming spaces, and just, you know, his love of EDH in general. I had Beth from Monarch Media on to talk about the Oktoberfest 2022 CEDH tournament. I unfortunately wasn't able to go to that, but it sounded like it was a really fun time. I got a chance to bring friend and patron Nick S. on to talk about kitchen table brewing experience in EDH for our local playgroup, and just the ability to have fun just building something from scratch and then playing games against each other. Got a chance to bring the one and only Veggie Wagon on to talk about his work with MTG song parodies, which is really cool. I had Jeffrey Palmer, aka Living Cards MTG, on to talk about the Living 3D Cards project, as well as his work bringing Paddington the Bear into Magic the Gathering, which has been really cool. It's been a really fun series to follow up on. You should definitely check that episode out. I feel like it's been criminally under-listened to. So if you haven't checked that out, it was published on the 26th of April this past year, so definitely check that out. Also check out Jeffrey's work on Twitter. You will not regret it. I had a chance to bring good friend Peter, aka Mono Whiteboarder, on to talk about Commander Legends 2, the Battle for Baldur's Gate. Again, a set that I didn't get really a chance to look into, but Peter definitely did, and he found a lot of really cool stuff in there. I had Demented Kirby from the Commander's Tavern on to talking about building a Commander Cube. That's something that I've never really thought about doing, but it was interesting to hear about exactly what that entailed, and it definitely sounded like something that I would like to participate in at some point. So, yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on there. Again, all the CDH stuff that I did, I had an amazing cosplayer and friend ZBEX on to talk about why you should try cosplaying, as well as fellow cosplayer Giraffinat. So, had a couple of episodes with fellow cosplayers and friends, and just really talking about why cosplay is really cool and why everyone should give it a try. I had Anomaly on to talk about Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, talking about, you know, the set and just answering some questions about exactly what the cards were doing, some of the lore implications, just, you know, a really good chance for me to test my skills as a lore person, as well as just trying to make sure I understood the cards. And again, it's a set I wish I dove into a bit more, but again, that's neither here nor there right now. Just had a lot of really cool stuff going on. How to be a good community host when I had Logan, aka Sarah Six, on to talk about that. And then there's just been the slew of Noah Brewer and Lightning builds that I've done. I haven't done as many of those as I did in 2021. But it's really been cool talking to people, just learning about their building styles, learning about really what they enjoy in EDH, how they build, and maybe learn something about the new builds, as well as the Lightning builds, which I've just had a lot of opportunities to get involved in those. And I mean, eventually I did get a chance to do one of those myself. That was really cool. So yeah, just a lot of really awesome episodes this year. And honestly, I'm going to say this, that I can attribute all the success to everyone out there listening to this episode, whether you're listening to this episode for the first, or listening to my podcast for the first time here, or if you've been a long-time listener. I cannot thank you enough for all the support you've given me over the last couple of years, really giving me a platform to be a content creator and Magic luminary, honestly. Or, okay, maybe not a luminary, but it's like, when I go to conventions, I feel like I'm a part of the community, and that's what content creation has given me, is kind of the platform to be able to provide my opinions on things, but also just be a part of the community. And that I just can't thank all of you enough for giving me this platform and listening to what I have to say and just interacting with me in general, on whether that's on Twitter or at conventions or whatever form it ends up being. It's just really cool to know that there are people out there listening to what I have to say. And thank you so much for listening and for, you know, just being cool to hang out with. And yeah, I mean, as far as now looking forward to 2023, I don't know what it'll entail. I mean, in 2021, I thought, hey, I want to ramp this podcast up, and I certainly did. If I've learned anything from my Spotify Wrapped profile, I mean, I released more content than 90-some percent of other people in my category. And I, you know, in 2021, I never would have thought that was possible. So I'm not going to try to speculate too much on what 2023 is going to entail because I just don't know. I mean, I'm not podcasting as much as I used to. You know, life changes, getting a new job. Just a lot of things have changed. So again, I'm not exactly sure exactly how 2023 is going to go, but rest assured that I'm still going to enjoy playing Magic. I'm still going to try to keep podcasting as much as I can. And yeah, I'm going to try to keep going to conventions. I'm going to Silicon Dynasty. I pretty much have my tickets booked already for, Magic Con in Minneapolis come May. So I'm definitely looking forward to going and do that. Maybe Vegas at the end of the year. So a lot of opportunities to get out there. Maybe there'll be some more conventions. Hopefully another MTG Summit will be coming around. So I'd like to be able to get to that. Yeah, so just conventions, just playing games online, podcasting. I'm starting to reach out to more people. So come January, hopefully I'll be able to start bringing some more guests back onto the show after a short hiatus and really start just being able to get back to what has made this podcast so great in the first place. So, and especially CEDH content. I really want to get back into CEDH more. So I'm going to start trying to bring some more people. Hopefully I'll meet some awesome people from the community at Silicon Dynasty, and I'll be able to bring them on the show to talk about their signature decks. So I just hope that I'll be able to start ramping things back up eventually, and you as the listener will hopefully be able to profit from that. So again, thank you so much for taking a listen to this. This has been a really fun year. A lot of really cool stuff has been going on, and let's hope that in 2023 things keep on rolling. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast for today. Before we end here, I'd like to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So another huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And you can find all of my back catalog of not just the 2022 episodes, but all the episodes in general on the usual podcast outlets. That's your Google, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocketcast, Pocketcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I never remember all of them, but if you find a major podcast outlet, odds are I'm probably on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. You can also find all my cosplay stuff over on Instagram at MT. And again, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.